chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 13, and I will read to the end of the chapter. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you shall put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our Savior. Father, as your church, as your people, we desire to live lives that glorify you. We desire to live in such a way of humility and obedience that others will see our good works and glorify you in heaven. Father, as the church, may we set the example of what a transformed life looks like. May we first submit ourselves to you, and then to every human institution that you put above us. Father, we pray for our new elected leaders, president, governors, senators, and others. We pray that they would be men and women who seek you. For those who do not know you, we pray that they come to know you. We pray that we would be that light and salt during this very divisive time. May we view everything that's going on in our world as opportunities to share Christ. Oh, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you that you did bore our sins in your body on the tree, that you sent your son to die for us. May we live each day with gratitude in our hearts, thanksgiving on our lips, as living sacrifices before you. Father, I do pray, if there is anyone here who has not accepted Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would not only understand the severity of their sin, the consequences of sin, but that they would look to the cross and see the love of Jesus Christ, how it was demonstrated in a way he can only demonstrate it. He died for us. He died for our sin. Lived a sinless life. There was not deceit in him. Complete obedience to you. As the Son of God, he laid down his life so that we could become the righteousness of Christ. Oh, we're so thankful. Oh, we look forward to that day in glory. Father, and tell them, may we remain steadfast in our walk. May we remain faithful to our calling. May we, as a West Pines Baptist Church, desire to reach others with the gospel. May we pray for them. May we live out the gospel and share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we continue in 1 Peter, how appropriate it is that we come to this passage as we just had a national election. A new president-elect will be taking office in January. Also governors and others as well throughout our land. And we see specific instructions given to the church on how we should respond to our leaders. How we need to be submissive to them. How we need to live our lives in such a way that without compromising our faith, but do it in such a way that we give God the honor because we are first and primarily devoted to Christ. And if our hearts and our lives are devoted to our Savior, we will then respond appropriately to those above us. Doesn't mean we agree with everything that our leaders stand for. Many times we disagree. But we understand that God has placed people in authority to fulfill His purposes. And we have obligations as a church and how we respond to that authority. Everything that we do should be for the glory of God and for the good of His kingdom. Everything. As believers in Christ, as Christians in society, we represent Jesus Christ. Remind yourself that daily. Who you represent. You are children of the King, citizens of heaven. You are an ambassador to others. You know, last week we looked at in 1 Peter 2:9 how it's our responsibility to advertise God's virtues, if you will. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What a responsibility, what a privilege we have as children of the King to proclaim His excellencies, to proclaim praise, to live our lives in such a way that others see that we have been transformed by the gospel. Now, as Christian citizens, we need to submit to the authority that God has put before us. Now look at verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake. First devoted to Him. This is the motive for all that we do. We are trying to live our lives in such a way that's pleasing to Him. Well, this is something that we are commanded to do. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperors as supreme, or the king, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Now, it is possible to submit to these human institutions and still, if called upon, to disobey the laws. This is what I mean by that. I think Daniel and his three friends were a good example of this. If you have not read Daniel, I encourage you to do so. And it's just a wonderful example of how they submitted to that human institution, to that government, an ungodly one, yet still remained faithful to God. What I'm referring to is when they were called to eat certain foods that were against what they were supposed to eat. They were commanded to only eat certain things. So they were living in a foreign land under this ungodly government, and they refused to obey the king's dietary regulations. They disobeyed the law. But the way they did it proved that they still honored the king and they respected the authorities. They were not rebels. They were careful not to embarrass the official in charge, to dishonor that. Yet they stood their ground. They glorified God, and at the same time, they honored the authority of the king, but they remained faithful to the King of Kings. We don't know the future, or we know some things of the future, don't we? What we need to know of the eternal kingdom coming. We also know how bad things will get during the tribulation period. Many ungodly laws that people who come to Christ during that tribulation will refuse to take the mark of the beast. That's a law that's going to be put in place. And they refuse to do it because they are a child of the king. Peter and the other apostles also face a similar challenge. Acts 4, verses 19 and 20, "But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.'" So they were commanded not to preach Christ. They said, "We have to be obedient to God." They weren't being disrespectful to the institution, but they were honoring first their king. We are living in a time that can be very divisive. We need to make sure that when we have conversations about what's going on in our government, that we look for opportunities to turn that conversation to Jesus Christ. And all of us would admit, no matter who is the elected official, president, vice president, governors in the Senate and so forth, none of them are perfect. And none of them will make the correct decisions all the time. And if they don't have a relationship with the Lord, they're already starting off on the wrong foot. But we can point people to Jesus Christ during this time. But right now, we understand we're not going to have a perfect government. But one day when Jesus Christ is reigning, we will. There's many ways you can transition the conversation to Jesus Christ during this time. The important thing is that you are setting the example. You are submitting to the authority. Look at verse 16. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Fear God. Honor the emperor. They go together, don't they? Romans 13:1 says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is not authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. Solomon had the same counsel in Proverbs 24, verse 21. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not join with those who do otherwise. We honor the king because we fear the Lord. They go together. That's why we are called to pray for our leaders, to submit to that authority. First of all, we are submitting to God. And if there is ever a time that our government asks us to do something that isn't direct contrast to what God has called us to do, then we are to obey God rather than men. Not disrespecting the human institution, but first submitting ourselves to our Father in heaven. We can respect the office without necessarily respecting or agreeing with those who are in office. Then he goes from subjecting ourselves to human institution or government to verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. Not only to do good, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. It's well known that during this time, under the Roman Empire, there were many slaves. many servants, as it's translated here in the ESV in verse 18. And Peter specifically spoke to that servant-master relationship. Now, there is an application for us as employee to employer. There's biblical principles that you can take out of this and how you should respond. I think everyone here, most likely, if you've had a job, you've given in to the temptation to slander at one time your boss, maybe another coworker, specifically someone above you. And I've been guilty of it. We shouldn't do it. And we should be setting an example, especially as believers on the workplace. Doesn't mean you agree with every decision that the boss makes. But you need to live in such a way that you are setting the example for others. This is how I respond to authority. You do it with a willing heart. You do it with the mindset that I'm doing this. I'm first submitting myself to God. And I want my light to shine in the workplace. But notice how he specifically says in verse 20, "For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten, for it you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God." There are going to be times that as a Christian employee, you will be wronged by an unbelieving supervisor, co-worker. And there are times that you are called just to simply, for conscience sake, you take it. You are suffering for it. There are certain opportunities you have to share your opinions in the right way. But there's other times that we just need to endure what we're going through and accept it. Not to respond harshly, not to slander someone. We are to give our best on the job. Even when we aren't appreciated, we are to still do our best. And when we are mistreated, we are still called to serve God and do our best. And it starts inwardly, doesn't it? You are serving from a heart that's been transformed by the gospel. You understand you're going to experience unjust things in your life and you're going to suffer unjustly. But what an opportunity as you are suffering unjustly to glorify God in your response. That's what Peter's referring to. I want to read to you Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For as they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We are not living for this kingdom. If we're treated fairly, if we're appreciated, great. But we do not live our lives expecting to always be treated justly and fairly. When our hearts and our minds are focused on heaven, we're living for the kingdom, we see everything that happens to us as citizens of the United States and as employees of specific companies, as opportunities, no matter how we're treated, to give God the glory, and great is our reward in heaven. We're not living for the here and now. We're living for eternity. Peter had learned in his own experience that God's people serve through suffering. It's part of the Christian life. We serve through suffering. It is a gracious thing in the sight of God. His grace is sufficient. That's all you need. You don't need recognition. You don't need to be treated fairly. You have God's grace. That's all you need. And then he transitions into the greatest example we have, Jesus Christ, verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He left it up to the Father. What an example Jesus set. Whenever you are tempted to have a pity party because you are not being treated fairly at your workplace, you're not being treated fairly by others, look to Jesus Christ and the example he set. He committed no sin. He was sent to the cross. But we also understand that he laid his life down freely for us. Everything he endured, it was for you, it was for me. Jesus proved that a person could be in the will of God, be greatly loved by God, and still suffer unjustly. Now, it's unfortunate that there's heretical teaching that says, hey, if you're in the will of God, you will not suffer. If you're in the will of God, you won't get sick. It's unbiblical, it's heretical, and it's directly against the teaching of Scripture. Jesus Christ, our Savior, he who knew no sin, oh, he suffered, not only physically, but then when he went to the cross and gave his life for you, Peter goes on to say that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. The word here means to carry as a sacrifice. Jesus Christ did what only he could do so that you and I could be saved. Whenever you're tempted to not respond in a godly way, whenever you're tempted to slander someone else, remember the example of Jesus Christ. There is not deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. He is our example. He's our substitute. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Again, I've said this plenty of times, Jesus Christ did not die as a martyr. He died as a Savior, the sinless substitute, the Passover lamb that takes away the sins of the world. He bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For sake of time, I won't take you to Romans 6. But in your own time, read verses 1 to 12, and it clearly states what it looks like dying to sin and living to righteousness. No, in these bodies, we will not be sinless. That awaits us in glory. But everyone who has come to Jesus Christ, who's been born again, now has the power not to sin. Because we have God living in us, and we can live to righteousness. For by His wounds you have been healed. I believe the healing Peter mentions here, it's not physical healing, rather spiritual healing of the soul. Now one day when we have glorified bodies, all sickness will be gone. But until Christ calls us home, all of us are going to die of something. So those who teach that, hey, if you're in the will of God and if you're just doing the right thing, God will always heal you, they do not know the Bible, or they are being clearly deceptive, because Scripture has example after example after example of godly people who died. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. In Scripture, specifically the Old Testament, the sheep died for the shepherd. But at Calvary, the shepherd died for the sheep. The shepherd, the overseer of our souls. All of us were straying like sheep. But when we repent of our sin and put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And if you are here this morning, you've never put your faith in Christ, you're lost. And until you put your faith in Christ, you will remain lost. And you can continue to live your life, and one day, eventually, you will die. And you will spend an eternity without Him in the lake of fire, eternal torment, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many desire to hear from their elected leaders, just say what you mean, right? Say what you mean and live it out. Speak truth. Well, here's some eternal truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Eternity in heaven with God forever, in a glorified body, worshiping and serving Christ forever. or you reject him and you spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Eternal torment. That's truth. The decision is yours. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. What a wonderful opportunity the church has to shine brightly in our world today. Make the most of every opportunity God gives you. You first submit to Him. You submit to the governing authorities. You submit to your bosses. Do it all for the Lord's sake. We can show others what the transformed gospel looks like as we live for Him. And we can make the most of the opportunity during this time. Some people are confused. Some people are angry. And we can be the hands and feet of Jesus during this time. Be praying for our country. Be praying for the church. Be praying for those God puts before you to be that light and witness to you. And if you are here and you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, He's not going to force you. He gives you a free will to accept Christ or reject Him. Choice is yours to make. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this nation that we live in, the freedom that we have. We thank you for the men and women who have died so that we can enjoy the freedom that we have today. But most of all, we thank you for your Son. Because Jesus Christ, when He sets us free, we are free indeed. We have been forgiven. We have been given a guaranteed home in glory. May we now present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you. May that be our spiritual act of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand up, a verse of invitation. Whatever the need is, just come. Amen. You may be seated. Have your bulletins and you're visiting with us. We do have a called Connect card on one side.